Honor your parents. This is the one we want the kids, the front row seats. This is one that's repeated often at home. Remember, the Bible says, and perhaps I've heard some comments, perhaps I'm not the best to give this message. Some of you are aware that Pastor Nate was gone not too long ago, and I took the chance to fire my mom. Of course, it was in jest. But still, apparently some thinks that disqualifies me from giving this message. And so I would simply say, let the Word of God speak and not me, the broken vessel. But again, this is one that we're familiar with. This is one that we've heard before. And I want to unpack tonight the narrow aspect of Commandment 5. And next week, we're going to look at some broad implications of what this means in other areas of our life. And so stay along for the ride. Again, tonight might be a familiar territory. Next week's going to be a little bit of an expansion, some things that we might not expect this commandment to be talking about. But let's turn in our Bibles to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, hopefully, if the crease has receded a little bit, hopefully in the next few weeks or so, that crease will again be in your Bible in Exodus chapter 20 as we continue to look at the Ten Commandments. And we'll look at specifically Exodus chapter 20 today in verse 12. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Again, this is the giving of the Ten Commandments, and verse 12 is the fifth commandment. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God has given you. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Again, this is the people of God as they're marching out from captivity, and they kind of take a pit stop, and God's instructing them, God's giving them law as he governs them as his people. And as they're marching towards the promised land, as they're marching towards liberation and freedom from slavery, we hear this command: honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land that your Lord your God has given. This is tied to the promise. This is tied to where they're going. And it is a beautiful, beautiful commandment. There's a couple things that we need to keep in mind. First, as we look at this, and we talked about this in the beginning. Pastor Nate touched on this when he unpacked the first commandment. We often talk about the two tablets of the law. Right? There's two tablets that he came down with, and usually this is kind of like a direct copy. There's two sets of the same thing. But in discussing this throughout Christian tradition, they've also talked not so much about the tablets, but the two tables of the law. The two tables of the law. The first table is commandments 1 through 4. 1 through 4. This is relating to how we love God. Remember that Jesus said that the law is summarized by loving God and loving our neighbor. The first four are how we love God. The second table, commandments 5 through 10, are how we're to love one another. How we're to love one another. Paul refers to the second list exclusively when he's talking about how we should love other people. In Romans chapter 13 and 1 Timothy chapter 1. So it's interesting that the first commandment mentioned in this second table of loving people is honoring parents. Honoring mother and father. And I think there's two essential reasons for this that reveal the Bible's high view of family. High view of family. So as we look at this as Christians, I think first we should have a high view of family. A high view of family. First, because the family is foundational to loving others. The family is foundational to loving others. Those in our family are closest to us. They provide special opportunities to show love to the people around us. Sometimes, often, they might be the most difficult to love. They offer frequent opportunities to love because we're constantly with them. We could say that our love for the world and those around us is an overflow of our love for our family. Augustine says it like this: if anyone fails to honor his parents, is there anyone he will spare? If anyone fails to honor his parents, who is he going to spare? One of my most vivid memories of growing up in elementary school, I don't remember a whole lot. My long-term memory is not that great. I don't know if that's an indication of something. I don't know. But I do know I have one vivid memory kind of burnt in there, not going anywhere. And growing up, it's kind of a big deal to go to high school basketball games. Right? And so you're kind of walking the hallway, and you're going to this high school basketball game, and you kind of look up to some of the older kids. And I just remember vividly this older kid. He's standing in the hallway there. People are passing away, but like everything became blurry. It's just like the focus is here for me, because he's approached by his mom, and his mom brought him a Subway sandwich. I'm thinking to myself, that's pretty awesome. Subway sandwich. That's great. And all I remember is this older kid who, I'm like, well, this kid's kind of cool. I want to be like the older kids. I just remember him flipping out on his mom. I told you to order it with this. I can't eat this. Burned into my memory. Really? She brought you Subway. How? How could that happen? Why? But we know this is an indicator of where somebody's at, don't we? It's a common expression, even in our culture, if you see, for people to say, if you want to know how a guy will treat you, look at how he treats his mom. Common expression. That close relationship that he has reveals something about his character. But we know that even as our relationship to parents can reveal something about our hearts, parents can also have a shaping influence on their kids as well. Often, the kid's heart can reveal something about the home life. There was an online forum, Reddit, that recently asked teachers to share a time when they met the parents of the child, and it just shed so much light on the child. Things make sense now. Okay, I get that. I get how those two go together. And so there's the typical stories like parents who, child who gets irritated at small things, kind of flips out and super competitive in a nasty way. And then the parents come in, it's kind of a field day, and they get to chaperone, and they hitch up with other parents, and they're doing a three-legged race. After the race, they spend the whole time bickering about the rules and why they didn't win. Like, okay, that makes sense. I get how that works. But here's a delightful story that somebody shared. One parent in particular sticks in my mind. He was really soft-spoken, a kind chap, and totally blind from birth. His daughter walked up to my desk where we talked for ages. He was appreciative of my time and feedback about his child and spoke very fondly of her. Then he gently led them away to the next appointment, and they were chatting away together. It made sense, because this student was simply delightful in class, enthusiastic, kind, deeply empathetic towards others. She had time for everyone. I couldn't help thinking I'd just seen a fantastic relationship between a parent and a child that had just been productive in every way. It cheered me up to no end. A contagiousness of a parent who cares for others, who cares for their child, and this just spills out to those around them. Unfortunately, that was one of the few positives. There's a lot of negative examples as well. Sometimes those just can be stick in our mind a little bit better, perhaps. But we know how the family can be formative over the hearts and lives of young people. In fact, we could say that the stronger the family unit, the stronger the family, the less need there is for other outside authorities. You know that there's almost an inverse relationship between the role of government and the role of family. The less healthy the family, the more the government needs to fill the gaps. It's important for us to think about. Are we championing the family? Do we view it highly? Are we encouraging one another? Are we impacting our kids? If the family is undervalued or looked down upon, others can come to the rescue. The churches aren't immune to this either. One of the most easy brownie points, build a relationship with kids that you can do is slam their parents. You've heard it said at home, but I say to you, we're not Jesus, let's not pull that move. But that can be really easy. That can be really easy to say, your parents just don't get it, let me show you how it should be. I'm thankful that we champion the family here at First Baptist, that we have a healthy view of family. It doesn't mean that church doesn't play a role in impacting children. We'll get to that next week. I'm going to save that material then, all right? But now, do we champion the family? Do we lift it high? Do we value it? Because the family is the training ground for the Christian life. Think about this. If I were to ask, perhaps in this room, how many of you were first introduced to Christianity or were influenced towards the faith in any way by your parents? I'm sure we'd have a lot of hands raised. There's a pastor's conference that we were at recently, and they said, how many of you were led to the Lord by your parents? A vast majority, 98% of people stood up. Parents play a significant role. In fact, it's commanded in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words I command you shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise, and when you bind them on the sign of your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. It's the parents' responsibility to bring their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We need to understand that in this commandment is the expectation of children towards parents, but the command itself also shows the importance for the parents to be teaching things that should be obeyed. When we have a high view of family and what role it plays in Christian development, we will champion the family unit. But we will also challenge one another in what is taking place at home. Put this another way, what spiritual benefit would children lose if they did not honor you? What spiritual benefit would children lose if they did not honor you? Does your identity as a Christian frame your role as a parent? Or do you not see how the two are related? So a high view of family. Next is a heavy respect for parents. A heavy respect for parents. When we think about honoring our parents, it's in the context of a high view of the family. It's one that's often neglected in our culture. Respect for parents is not only neglected, it's actively mocked. In this attempt to even speak the language of the kids, Disney is often a mirror to youthful depravity. Ashley and I were recently thrown back by watching the Disney movie Moana, and there's a scene in the movie where a key point is, don't listen to dad, do whatever you want. Just follow your call. Of course, it's grandma who's saying that, but that's a whole other thing. We're not going to go into that. But time after time, there can be an undermining of parental authority. Chart your own path. Be your own individual. In fact, the only time that autonomy and individuality is not championed is when it should be in the womb. There it's... Well, if mom doesn't say it's a child, then it's not a child. When Scripture talks about honoring our parents, something that's so countercultural, we need to understand what it's talking about. We need to define our terms. The word honor means heavy or weight. We could say that to honor parents is to give them their due weight. It is to understand the substantial role that they play in our lives. Or we could put it like this, we should have a heavy respect for our parents. We should not take lightly the gift that they are to us, but we should treasure it in our hearts. For this term of respect or how to honor our parents, John Calvin had three categories, and I think they're helpful for us to think about. The first is reverence. Scripture uses the word fear or reverence concerning how people are to relate to their parents. In Leviticus chapter 19, verse 3, it said, every one of you should revere his mother and father, and you should keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. In Romans 13, verse 7, and 1 Peter 2:18 also use this language. It should be noticed that this language isn't limited only to parents, but it's actually how we're to relate to God. When this language is used of God, it's holy reverence that relates to worship. The Scripture is clear that our reverence for our parents or any person is not the highest reverence. That's owed to God alone. In Acts, we hear the apostles say, we must obey God rather than men. And in the gospel, Jesus calls for a greater allegiance to him than even to his disciples' mother and father. But the language that we see in this command uses this language to communicate a true reverence that we should have for parents. Sure, this allegiance shouldn't pass our relationship with the Lord, but no human relationship is going to do that anyway. What's more, this true reverence for our parents comes out of a reverence for the Lord. They're not competing, but because we love the Lord, because we value him, because we worship him, we value the parents that he's given us. It's a consequence of our love for the Lord, not in competition. In fact, in Deuteronomy, the second giving of the law, it reads this way, honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you. Do this because God. Jesus defends this commandment against the abuse of it by the Pharisees. In fact, the Pharisees said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to dedicate all our stuff to God. And that way, if our parents are kind of getting older, they need a little help from us, we can't give you money because we already gave it to the Lord. We already dedicated that. That's not for use for you. I kind of put this in a separate category for the Lord, and therefore I can't help my parents. Jesus says, don't give a false reverence for God. All you're trying to do is escape your real human responsibility. It's super obvious. But so many times when we look at this thing and we look at this command and we say, well, I need to obey God more than parents, what we're really saying is that might be true. And there are certain instances where that is true. But more often than not, it's using God as a justification to disobey parents. We cannot pretend to honor God to escape his commandments. To understand this command, we need to have different categories of honor that we can hold at the same time. We should give a real, true honor to parents. And this is not limited to age. This is not limited to in the home. There should be a real honor to parents. A human honor. But it's not on the same plane as our honor to God. Our honor to God, because he's God, means worship. To honor our parents means to have a healthy reverence, a healthy respect for them. Next category is submission or obedience. Submission is not a completely separate idea from reverence, but it flows from reverence. Those that we hold highly are people that we give our ear to. We pay attention to them. We want to learn from them. We care what they say. We'd even be willing to change out of respect for what they say. When we disagree with them, it comes slowly and always pleasantly and respectfully. Scripture often talks about parents as teacher. And submission is broader than simple obedience. But I think this is helpful when we think about lending our ear and caring about what they say, that this can be extended beyond time at home. Regardless of where we're at in life, we should respect and care about what they say. Be gentle in correction. Paul tells Timothy, do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father. So while submission is this bigger term, Scripture does use the word obey in place of honor in both Ephesians 6, verse 1 and Colossians 3, verse 20. Here, Paul is addressing children. And from the context, I think the most natural reading is children at home. Children who are living under their parents' roof are called to live in obedience to their parents. Parents are not expected to leave their children on their own just to figure things out or just encourage their children, whatever feels right to them. But they're to teach. They're to command. There's so many things to be learned. Think about all the things that we learned as kids. As I reflected on this, just several things came to mind. How to use a spoon. That's helpful to know. If you didn't know, kids don't come out of the womb like knowing how to use a spoon. That was a shocker for me. How to crawl. That doesn't even happen. Like rolling over is a big step. How to walk. There's some wobbles. There's you helping them out. How to use the toilet. Aren't we glad that parents teach their kids how to use a toilet? Still in training a little bit there. There are many things that you say even as parents and you realize, I didn't realize I'd spend so much time telling my kids not to eat things out of the trash can. I thought that was kind of common sense, like that just comes with the territory. No, like there's things in the trash can, they look good, I'm going to grab it out and I'm going to eat it. Happens all the time. Or me and Micah, and I talked to him and told him I was going to share this. Me and Micah, we go into the man's room. Right? We go into the man's room, and he's really excited because he's going with Daddy. Right, and we go there, and he points at the urinal cake and says, look, Daddy, bubble gum. No, son, that's not bubble gum. Don't eat that. Right. It's going to be wise for him to obey me and not eat that bubble gum, to learn the difference. So there's different teaching. There's different things that we learn that are helpful for us from parents. Of course, the relationship's going to change depending on the age of the child. Giving 1,000 reasons and explanations to a child for every single thing that you say is about as pointless as rooting for the Detroit Lions. You can do it, but it's kind of pointless. I had to, sorry. Never explaining to a teenager, so just commanding and never explaining, can be as frustrating as walking into the Secretary of State, picking number 96, only to hear them call, now serving number 2. The point is, use discernment. But for children, your responsibility is the same, even as if the approach isn't what you would like. If you're looking for 1,000 reasons, then it really just becomes agreeing with their call instead of submitting to them. If you only obey your parents because you agree with the decision based on your own thoughts, not only are you misunderstanding the command, but that's not going to be helpful for you when you enter the workplace. That's not going to be helpful for you when you have other authorities in life. Again, this is a training ground. And again, we need to look at examples in Scripture. If we're not careful, we can think that our obedience to our parents is throttled by their godliness. And there could be a devastating relationship between our growth in the Lord and our level of respect for our parents. I'm growing in holiness. I'm in my Bible more than my parents. Therefore, I don't need to listen to them. Well, let's look at an example. Jesus, in Luke chapter 12, verses 41 to 52. What happens there? Flip in your Bibles. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 is a beautiful, wonderful passage of Jesus. This is now Luke chapter 2, verse 41. Now, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to the custom. And when the feast was ended and they were returning, the boy stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it. But supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey, but they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances, and they did not find him. And they returned to Jerusalem searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said, "Why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been searching in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" They did not understand what he was saying when he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. If we think a growth in holiness means non-respect, non-submitting to our parents, then we better be holier than Jesus. And that's just not going to happen. Think about this scenario. Jesus is there. His parents left him. They don't know where he is. Right? 3 days come by. Go by. They come back. Like, "Hey, where's Jesus? I don't know. They come back. And they're like, "Why are you doing this to us? You left me." No. That's not what he says. He's submissive and he follows. He was not in the wrong. Jesus was without sin. And yet he follows his parents. Let's be careful of thinking that there's somehow in our growth in the Lord we can surpass the submitting to parents. Are any parents perfect? No. But how many love their children imperfectly each day? They strive to point them to Jesus and make sure that they're prepared for life. They pray for them. They long for godliness in their life. There it is, gratitude. Gratitude. Remember when we discussed how many were led to the Lord because of their parents' influence? How many parents do and receive so little thanks for all they do? The mom who cleans up day after day feeling like she's trying to slow down Niagara Falls by catching it in a solo cup. How do we show gratitude to that? One way is simply prompt obedience to parents. No noises of irritation. No, just let me finish this. This is probably just a form of entertainment anyways, which is strange. Right? The things that were meant to fill the gaps in our life are causing us to neglect the responsibilities that God has called us to. We could say, maybe it's not too far off base to say, if your phone causes you to sin, smash it to pieces. It's better to lose your phone than your soul. But that's kind of going in a side tangent. I'm going to stop right now. Right? Also, a simple thank you. Mom, thank you. Dad, thank you. Great way to show gratitude. Some of you saying sorry, apologizing. So many times, maybe all of us to a certain degree, need to apologize to our parents. Not with the attitude of, if I apologize to them, then they're going to think they did nothing wrong. No. Let the Holy Spirit change their hearts and simply be faithful and obedient where you are. Stop by and say hi. Call them. When's the last time you called your parents? The scripture talks about obedience and gratitude in this way, taking care of aging parents, making sure that they're cared for physically and financially. And this commandment's connected to a promise. Paul refers to this commandment in Ephesians 2 as the first commandment with a promise. The promise is that they will live long in the land. And commentators agree that this is related more than just living to an old age, but it's connected to living a full life. Living long and prospering. So children, here in this room, your life will go better if you obey your parents. They care for you. They want the best for you. They long to see you love Jesus more than they do. They desire for you to avoid the mistakes and the sins that they have. There is evidence even in them bringing you tonight. Think of all the kids throughout the world that have never heard the gospel, that have never heard the good news that will lead them to eternal life. Your parents want that for you. They desire that. What a precious gift from God. Parents who put limitations on electronic devices, who set limits, who set curfews. They're not doing that because they love to rob you of joy. Who just delight when you don't like those limitations. They don't sit up late at night devising schemes of how to irritate you. They do it because they love you. They want to protect you. It'd be much easier to give you a device and just say, have at it. Leave me alone. It doesn't take near as much effort, near as much care, near as much heartache. No, they care. What weight do you give the parents that God has placed in your life? Are you as aloof as the culture? Or do you see their value? And do you give thanks to the Lord for it? The scripture is clear on the importance of obedience to parents. Scripture is crystal clear. If flip in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 21. Deuteronomy chapter 21. Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 18. If a man is stubborn and rebellious, has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or mother, and if though they discipline him, he will not listen to them, then his father and mother shall take hold of him and bring him to the elders of the city and the gate of the place where he lives. And there they shall say to the elders of the city, this is our son, stubborn and rebellious, and he will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones, and you shall purge the evil from your midst, and all Israel shall hear and fear. We can rejoice. This is difficult teaching. This is hard. It's saying, if this takes place, go out and stone the child. Now, this is in the Old Covenant era. This is not commanded today. I'm not asking for a visual demonstration of this. But I do think that there's some underlying principles that we need to take note of. Notice that this discipline was a community involvement. There is something to respecting and honoring our parents that we do together. It can be really easy, like especially for parents, to not understand even the seriousness of this, or to promote themselves above the command, right? To be the cool parent or the easygoing parent. I know your parents don't let you do this, but do it here. It's not that big of a deal. That's not joining together. That's not championing the command. That's devaluing it. That's not killing sin. But there is a cause to rejoice, even in the midst of this, even in the difficulty, even in, as we see, what should take place. And we see that in what Jesus talked about. I mean, it's hard to miss just how big of a deal this is in the Bible. And that's why it's so shocking that Jesus tells a story that just flies in the face of what might be expected. In Scripture, we see the Father welcoming the disobedient. A son who did just about everything that we just read here in Deuteronomy, who rebelled, who was drinking, who was just spitting on the face in the name of his father. And yet, how does the father respond? The father runs to him. And Pastor Nate already unpacked the kind of weirdness of that action. This just doesn't happen. Older people don't run. That's just not dignified. But the father races to embrace the son. At a time when his son should have been stoned, his son was embraced. Can't we see how crazy this is? Can't we see what kind of love this is? A son who deserves death is welcomed in open arms. We fall short. We fall short in being parents worthy of honor. We fall short of honoring and respecting our parents. When we look at the mirror of God's law, it stares us in the face and we don't like what we see. We see ourselves in the muck with the pigs. But yet, what we see in God's word is that through Christ, there's a way. Through Christ, there's a way. The one who was sinless in our place, who obeyed his parents, though he was perfect, did so for us. He took the punishment that our disobedience deserves. even in our open rebellion, Jesus reminds us of the Father who opens his arms to the disobedient. What wonderful, beautiful hope we have that we are forgiven, that we fall so short. Let's pray together. Dear Father, I thank you. I thank you that you do welcome the disobedient. God, that we do earn ourselves a right place with you, but that you came to us while we were still sinners. Father, forgive us. Forgive us for our lack of reverence, obedience, and gratitude towards our parents. Help us to live reflecting on the gift that they are because of you. And God, help us to rest in your grace, even as we recognize our own sin. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.